This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
We're in Heyday Dome of Bats Theatre. So it's one of the three spaces that Bats has, and it has an amazing dome right above us which has independent lighting, so it can be lit up any colour, which is amazing for the show, and has pillars, and it's actually probably perfect for the show, really.
And this is the first time this show has been in Wellington?
It is, actually. Yeah, it's the first time it's been out of Auckland. So even though it's set in the UK, Auckland's had two seasons, a development season, and the Auckland Pride season of it.
So how did the play come about?
I've been writing it for a number of years. I saw The Imitation Game, which was about Alan Turing and his life, and saw an area which wasn't really covered, which was about his conviction, or potential conviction, which was he received an alternative to a conviction. And I thought it was an area that hadn't been covered, I didn't really know about, so I started researching that and thought there wasn't even talk then about the pardons being extended or to anyone else. It had just been given to Alan Turing at the time, so I thought it needs more, needs to be brought to the public more so.
Before we go any further, can you just elaborate on who Alan Turing was and what was his convictions?
So Alan Turing, he was a genius mathematician, computer scientist, and they say that he broke the Enigma codes during World War II. So they say he shortened the war by 2 years because of his abilities. He designed a machine and built a machine that broke the code, and then Nazis were so confident that it couldn't be broken that they didn't believe that it had. And so, yeah, the British government kept a secret for so long that they managed to win the war by strategy, basically. But his advances in computer science are basically why computers are where they are today. He had the idea of actually what a computer could be, artificial intelligence, and was fascinated by that. So, yeah, British during the was working for the British government during the war, so the 30s and 40s. Then he was involved in he basically had a relationship with someone who stole some stuff from him. So he reported it, but didn't report that he was having a relationship with them, and it came out that he was having a relationship, and then he had to go to court. And the alternative to the conviction for being homosexual, which was illegal at the time, homosexual activities, was that he was chemical castration, which is artificial estrogen. So he underwent that afterwards, so to avoid prison. Yeah, so that's how it came about that the pardon was given to him well after he was dead, and a long time after he died. So they say that he committed suicide, but it could have also been just cyanide vapor. That it could have been because he did experiments in his back room. But yeah, so it could have been that as well. But it was a long time after he died that the pardons came out, the pardon for him, and then it wasn't extended to anybody else except him, which is bizarre for the fact that they were pardoning him for his homosexuality, but not actually acknowledging all of the amazing stuff that he did. And it seemed to be only his patriotism was the reason why they gave him a pardon in the first place. So, yeah.
And so you were saying you saw a movie about his life, and then what were the things in that movie that weren't covered that kind of inspired you to write the play?
Well, it was more about his life and obviously the amazing things he did in computer science. And then they kind of skipped over the relationship quite broadly, and his conviction. So I just thought it needed to be needed more detail about that, and actually more work needed to be done towards the pardons being extended to the other men, the thousands of other men who were who had been convicted under the same law for hundreds of years, and just because they weren't famous, they weren't considered important enough to be pardoned as well. So it was it's a fight that actually Benedict Cumberbatch and Stephen Fry were campaigning for. Obviously, Benedict Cumberbatch playing Alan Turing in the film, and then the campaign started for trying to extend these pardons in the UK, and then thusly here as well in New Zealand. So, yeah.
Tell me about some of the other characters in the play.
So it also features Oscar Wilde. So there's four storylines. One is of Alan Turing and his life, especially how his family treated him during the period where he was in court and being convicted, and his childhood as well, and how they treated him through that. Oscar Wilde and him, his life, his being married, but also being distanced in that marriage, and before he was convicted and sent to prison for two years for hard labour. Also, there's a modern storyline, which is the fight towards the pardons being extended. So it's that mainly focused on just before the pardons were extended in the UK, and then the first reading being passed here. And there is a purgatory storyline, which is if Oscar Wilde and Alan Turing knew each other and what their relationship would be. So the having Alan Turing's directness and intelligence against Wilde's wit and humour, and how that just seems to work really well. As soon as I started writing it, knowing the two characters, how well they kind of played off each other.
I read a review recently that says about the play, the humour seduces you, then the themes confront you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think if you there is a play that keeps punching tragedy all the way through, it numbs an audience. I feel like humour lifts the audience out and makes them think about the issues more because they're laughing at it, but sometimes they think they shouldn't be laughing at it because it's a serious matter, and then sometimes they're laughing at it and going, oh yeah, that's true, and they relate to it. I think humour is a good way of bringing issues to the fore and making an audience think about it. If you keep trudging through and hitting the audience with stuff, it's gonna hit against a blank wall after a while, because the audience will just put up a wall of and be numb to it after a while. Yeah, I think humour is a really good tool.
So on the face of it, giving a pardon for an historic offence is kind of sounds kind of cut and dry, but you're saying there are multiple issues within that, yeah?
Yeah, well, there are the issues of what is a pardon. The word pardon invokes ideas of being forgiven for something that you've done wrong, which the law is trying to quash sentences. So it's not that the government is forgiving for something. They should be it shouldn't be a pardon. It should be just a quashing of sentences, because there was nothing wrong with what people were doing at the time. It was just an offence that the government had invoked. So, it's the issues of what is a pardon, why we're using the word pardon, and what damage has been done by the government and therefore society for that length of time, and can we actually ever wipe the slate clean? People have been seen as guilty for so long that are they always going to be seen as guilty, no matter what the government says now, or some people say now within society? It's the rainbow community is seen in a shadow still, even now. And times have moved on, and laws are changing, but it's going to take a long time for society to change their opinions and views on the community.
Am I right in thinking that this had its premier performances prior to the historic conviction legislation being introduced in New Zealand?
Actually, just after. So I've been writing it for a few years before the convictions, before the law change came into place. And then 2 weeks before the development season opened, the first reading was passed. So I then had to slightly rewrite the end. It didn't change the themes for it because it was always about the fight towards the change in the law. But the end of the play was up to present day and present moment. So I had to change that to be that the laws had changed in the UK, and then actually it was pretty quickly that the reading had been passed here. So, and that came into place so quickly. I'd been talk about it, and it was a year that people had been talking and saying, we're putting a reading through, and yeah, it's being processed, and it's like, oh, well, how many years is this going to take? And then, you know, within a few days it had passed, and it was an exciting time because, you know, it was in current news, and it's so rare that you're writing a play where it changes so quickly, even just before and during the run of the play. Because it takes so long for the plays to get onto the stage, it kind of highlighted that perhaps there needs to be more ways for plays to get on quickly if they're dealing with current events, because they change so quickly. But it was exciting at the time because we could use all of that publicity and go, look, this is in the news, this is happening right now, this is what it's about.
And so what was the audience reaction to that first production?
We got really good feedback. I invited a lot of friends along, obviously, because it was my first full-length show, which was really exciting. And a lot of the audience members were completely unaware of the history behind it, the history behind these famous characters, what they went through, and the fact that the law change had only just come into place after over 100 years. And actually a lot of them were shocked and really touched by it and upset as well. There's a lot of people who were emotionally upset, were crying during the performance because they just didn't realize that this had happened, and actually were upset that they didn't know about it. So I think it's really important in the fact that it's letting people into this important piece of history and the background behind it. Also, I've got an amazing cast, which I've still got now. It's the third season of the show's same cast, same director. So it's really developed over time, and the cast have really embedded their characters and know them inside out, and the relationships are amazing. So, and I've got an amazing technical person because there's four different storylines, actually making those it clear that we're in different places is a challenge in itself. So using lighting and background sound, we've managed to do that, and it's pretty clear now. So it has developed and changed, but since the first development season, and also using people's feedback and using critical feedback, we've managed to clarify what we had first, and now I think we're in a really good place with the show.
In terms of audience feedback, have you had either men that were directly affected by these convictions or the families or friends of these men contact you?
I have had a few messages through social media, which don't directly say I have a conviction, but more so say that this has touched me and this has affected me, and they connect with the themes, and they said that within messages, and which makes me think that there might be something else that which is Which is the thing at the time, at the moment, it's, we might be able to change the laws, but if people have to apply for them to be changed, they don't want to go back. They've been hiding it for so long. They don't want to think about that. They don't want to apply to a government and to through the police who convicted them in the first place, especially if they were entrapped by some of the methods that were used back then to entrap men and then to convict them under that entrapment. The messages are more cryptic and you have to read a little bit more into them, because people don't want to admit that they have convictions and that this has happened to them, even though we now, well, society now should think that it's, there was nothing wrong with what happened back then, but still they've been hiding for so long they don't want to talk about it or admit it or even relive it.
And those convictions still can affect people in their daily lives, I imagine, like travel and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, applying for visas for different countries, applying for work. If they do a criminal records check, those convictions are on the sex offenders list. So they're on the list with paedophiles and rapists, and that's lifelong. It doesn't end after a certain period. That's for the rest of their lives. So there are men that have passed away with those convictions, and some are still alive with those convictions. So think the men that are still alive, thinking back then when they were convicted, it was a very different world. So I think things haven't changed enough for them to be able to face up to that.
Do you know the extent of the number of convictions in New Zealand that were brought about because of this?
I don't think the government have actually explicitly said how many, because they've released records for the 80s and 90s, I think. And there was a lot. I think I've written down somewhere that there were thousands of convictions during that period. So if we extend it to, you know, over 100 years, then we're talking of tens of thousands of men here. In the UK, it's around 50,000 men that were convicted under their law during the period that we deal with in the play. So there's a lot of men affected that I've lived with this for so long, that and it's taken so long for it to change. And a lot of families that of these men probably don't know about it. So even if they have passed away, if they don't know about it, then they're not going to apply for a pardon. And some of the families don't want to face that either. So, yeah, it's affected a lot of people. And for it to have taken this long is quite horrific, really.
So what hooked you into this particular topic for your first full-length play? What was it that drew you in?
Well, I've written full-length plays before. It's just the first one that has gone on. I thought it was so current that it needed to... I've developed and developed it to try and get it on stage as soon as I could. As soon as I was happy with it. I don't consider myself a political person really in like everyday life, but my writing seems to always have political themes. I always seem to need a purpose for a play, and for this, the purpose was so strong and so current that I felt like it needed to be written, and I didn't feel like it had been publicized or had been touched by anyone else in theatre or on screen. So I thought it was important enough to write a full-length play, and had enough in it for a full-length play. It probably has enough in it for several plays. But this is the culmination of years of work, and I'm pretty pleased with how it's been received and how it and the messages that it puts across now.
Can you talk to me about the differences between writing, say, for a rainbow queer audience and writing for a mainstream audience, and you know, what those differences are?
Well, I think an audience has to connect with themes and has, and they have to connect with the characters. So if I was to write a play with the same themes, but featuring characters that were not from the rainbow community, I don't feel like people would connect as much and to the characters or the themes, because they wouldn't believe that the characters would connect to those themes either. So I feel like to relate to a rainbow community, that has to feature characters that they recognize and believe that those characters have a passion for those themes and have been affected by those themes. So I think you have to know who your audience is and whether they will be interested in the characters and the play that's being put together.
So you were writing specifically for a rainbow audience?
Yes, but also I feel it's important for everyone to know about these themes. I do feel like a lot of people within the rainbow community don't know the extent to how these laws have affected people, especially younger people who've grown up in a community that hasn't had these laws. And I feel like our audience has been an older audience who still remember people and those laws that affected those people. It would be great to get a younger audience so that they get them interested in how history has affected where they are now, because it definitely has affected the world that we live in today. So yeah, I think everyone needs to know about these themes, especially if we want to continue changing the law. It's only had its first read-through passed, so it isn't actually in law yet in New Zealand, even though it is in the UK. So it still needs work, and even the fact that you have to apply for it, you know, to have your record expunged, raises issues as well, especially for people who are still embarrassed about it.
What about the marketing of the play and also getting sponsorship for the play? Is it harder if it's a rainbow play?
I feel like there are specific organisations that are able to help the rainbow community, which is great. We got funding from Rural Foundation and Rainbow New Zealand, which has really helped, especially with the transfer fare. It's been quite expensive bringing actors down from Auckland, putting them up here per diems, so that they can, you know, stay here, especially if they're not working at the time, whilst they're here. So it's been essential that we got funding, but the play is specific enough and has political issues that still need to be addressed. And I feel like those organisations really saw what the importance in those issues, and that's why we got funding from them and thought that the patrons and their networks would support it as well.
So will this play be seen in other centres around New Zealand?
There's no plans as of yet. We're hoping that we can get it on in the UK at some point. I'm approaching theatres and producers over there to see if we can get it on it. It would be a big job producing wise to try and get a Kiwi company to go over to the UK. But I mean, there are funding bodies that would help with that. But it's so hard to take things abroad. It was hard enough getting funding to bring it down here. I think it's the themes are worth publicising all over New Zealand, and some of the reviews that we got also said that it deserves to be on in every major centre in the world. So that was actually a reviewer and an audience member said that it should be in every major city, which I would agree with, because there are still places where these laws are still in place, never mind men with convictions. There are still men being convicted in some countries even now. So it's really important.
What have you taken from the play? You know, you've obviously written it, researched it. When you see it being performed on stage, when you see the audience reactions, what do you take away from it?
I've learnt a lot about, researching the play has been so fun, and learning about the world of Alan Turing and Oscar Wilde, completely different worlds, and some of the some of their history, the things that they actually quotes that they've said, places that they've been, and stories of those places has been really interesting, and really trying to recreate those places and those situations on stage has been really fun. Audience reaction, I think, has been what I hoped for, was that people laugh at the comedy in it and don't hold themselves back. And you speaking to people afterwards and reading reviews, they get what the messages are, they get the characters, and they are touched by the themes. So I feel like I've succeeded in what I wanted an audience to get from it, but also succeeded in creating authentic characters that people relate to and know from their own knowledge of those characters, and connect to them and feel for what they've gone through.